God who made the trees and bodies, God who made the ground and grand gestures, may we practice happy hospitality, because here hostilities can be healed. Amen. I wanted to title today's message as being how to be a good guest. But rather than trying to set out a set of arbitrary rules for when you are a guest, my hope is that from my story about something that happened on my trip and the verses of Luke, that it might inspire some curiosity on how you have been received as a guest in the presence of others and how you respond as a guest to hospitality. So what inspired today's message was a series of events that transpired over 2 days while I was in Kyrgyzstan. While in Kyrgyzstan, I wanted to visit the village of Aslanbob, which means the gate of the lion. I picked my destinations for a variety of reasons, some well thought through, and others more on a whim. What inspired my visit to Aslanbob were the walnut trees. The local legend is that Alexander the Great visited this village and took the walnuts back to Europe, and this was the introduction of the walnut. To get to Aslanbob, I decided to take a shared taxi. A 10-hour ride for $30 is a hard bargain to pass up. Little did I know that the day I decided to travel was Nowruz, which is Persian New Year, and that I would have to wait 6 hours until that shared taxi was filled. Given the time that it takes to get from Bishkek to Aslanbob, my ETA was going to be about 1 a.m. And as we were driving along, it became apparent I wasn't going to make it to my destination that night. And so the guest house owner in Aslanbob told the taxi driver that he needed to take me home for the night. This had to be offered to me twice. Because I hate inconveniencing people, and I'm a man with a plan. Mr. Independent had to rely on the generosity of a stranger. Hard pill to swallow. When I got to the taxi driver's home, I was shown where I was going to sleep, which was a mountain of blankets on what looked like a window seat. And then I was shown the bathroom. Now, for those who know me well, I can be a princess about my beds and bathrooms, amongst other things. And when I was shown a shed with a hole in the floor, I was a bit shocked. I have never been known for my squats, but I had to make do. The next morning, I was treated to a big breakfast and milk direct from the cow, despite some of the family members fasting for Ramadan. I was taken aback that complete strangers would have me in their home. I was thankful that I had some Whittaker's and Manuka honey to give them as a thanks. When I made it to Aslanbob, it had been a whole week without me wearing shorts. And you'll know how I love my shorts. So after I checked into my accommodation, I made the decision to put on my jean shorts and walk around the village. As I walked around the village, local children were unafraid of this weird-looking foreigner who was the only short wearer in the village and fearlessly approached me to talk, even if we couldn't understand each other. From the adults, I may have had a few side glances. When I returned, the owner met me at the door and started to tell me off for wearing my shorts, which I was allowed to wear in his house, but not in public. It must be one of those things, what goes on behind closed doors is your business kind of things. Later in the evening, he returned to ask me if I was married. And this turned into a lecture on marriage, including questions as to why I hadn't got married yet to a woman and how my father was a good man because he had done what was right and had children. This was music to my father's ears, and I think the only time in my life I've heard him agree with an Islamic point of view. Metaphorically and literally, I decided to dust off my shoes and leave the next day because I didn't want to pay for this anymore financially, mentally, or emotionally. These were two really different experiences within the space of 48 hours, And it made me think about how we enter people's houses and how we can be received in different ways. It also reminded me of Luke 10, where Jesus is sending out 72 disciples to prepare the way for when he arrives. Jesus gave instructions about how to approach these villages. He did not give instructions to plunder or pillage or colonize. He did not say, make sure you read the book, How to Win Every Argument. He says, when entering a house, to first wish peace upon the house. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. I think that Jesus is talking about the importance of peace and spreading it, and also learning how to hold our own peace. Jesus goes on to say, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. When Jesus tells us to go on the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you, I think Jesus is saying here that if we are poorly received, that this might be due to the dust that clings to people in their towns. I notice that I can forget to dust my car, and I can happily drive around in it for weeks without even removing it. The dust that clings to our lives could be unhelpful beliefs or our habits or ways of living. I could understand that in Arslan Bob, that the owner of the village of the guest house had been in the village for 27 generations. He was one of the founding members. That it was the holy month of Ramadan, that modesty is one of the pillars of Islam, and he had been the head of the village and a school teacher. And if you have school teachers for parents, you'll understand what can happen, as I do. Nothing against school teachers. Where we tread, some people will receive us and some will not. But it is important to be able to hold our peace regardless of how we are being hosted. If I were to look through this using a psychological lens, I think that Jesus is talking about knowing who you are, holding emotional boundaries, and being able to hold our peace when confronted by hostility, as hard as that is. I also think that Jesus is pointing to some emotional hygiene in tough situations when he says, dust off your feet. In my job, I have ways to shake off the emotional cooties every day. My colleague at work will walk around campus unzipping like this. And that's her way of coping with the situation. For me, I often don't wear shoes in my house. And part of this is about leaving the literal poop at my door, but also the emotional poop as well. If I had some questions for you, it would be, how are you a guest in others' homes? How do you respond when you're received well and not received so well? What do you do to practice dusting off your feet? For some reason, I look back at both of these experiences with a lot of love and gratitude. I don't know why this is. Maybe it's my way of holding my peace, but I hold a sense that in both of these situations, I was protected by God's children, and they were doing their best to look out for one of God's brave but sometimes thoughtless children as well. As a small epilogue for the remainder of the journey, I made the choice to wear pants in public. Not because I was shamed into doing so, but this is my choice to express respect. Just like we ask tourists to pick up trash when they hike, if it is the one thing I could do, it is something I chose to do, to keep the peace. God of the roads and resting places, you sent them with no purse, no bag, no certainty, but with only peace on their tongues. May we be travellers of your way, not tourists of the holy, even when the road is rough. Let us go not with answers, but with grace for whatever awaits us. Teach us to knock gently and to leave dust behind when the doors stay closed. for the kingdom has come near, not in power, but in peace that stays and peace that is returned to soften us still. Amen.